uploading the virus.
Eagle One, the package is being delivered.
So here at Motherboard, we've been chasing down scoops and blogging for all of you to consume our premium content. So this week, we've got a short episode for you where we officially accept that our weekly roundup is now called Cyber Cipher. Also, next week we'll be taking some time off because I heard all of you Americans will be celebrating something. I will be retreating to the Great White North. Farewell and happy Thanksgiving. You'll hear again from us in December. All right, so Jason, it's no longer the roundup.
In my heart, it's the roundup.
In your
heart, that's what came to mind when we first launched this.
It is, but now it's Cyber Cipher.
Cyber Cipher.
Yeah, we gotta get the theme music ready for this, though.
Yeah, I think theme music is to come.
We've been working on it.
We've been in the lab, in the studio, on the ones and twos, turning knobs, twisting things.
Yeah, I've been in the, you know, in the studio working on beats.
Yeah, exactly. We're trying to get Dre, but yeah. We might have to settle for
old Benny Mac.
Yeah, old Benny Mac. Swizz Beatz.
Yeah, Swizz Beatz was I had to leave them on hold. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So Cyber Cipher, as the roundup with new name. Well, not new name, but we've been sort of calling it off.
We just officially will call it this now.
Yeah.
We won't do that thing every time we talk about this where we're like, which one is it?
May we pour one out for the roundup?
Let's pour one out for the roundup, everyone. All right, that's good.
Moment of silence.
Yeah. Okay, so we have as our first story, a great one from Mr. Lorenzo.
I think that this is one of the biggest hacking stories in years, just because it has the potential to sort of change the conversation around hacktivism and hacking. And a lot of people are like, hey, what's happened to Anonymous? Like, what happened happened to all the good hackers? And so Phineas Fisher, who we've talked about a lot of times in the past, he hacked Hacking Team. He hacked a couple other people. He hacked FinFisher.
FinFisher, that's where he kind of got his name originally.
Yeah.
Pretty much one of the most prolific hacktivists in the world, or hackers, period, really. I mean, he hacked the Turkish government.
He did, yes.
And he did announce it and said it was for the debut of a Viceland show.
Yeah, that was tight.
That was tight.
Your show.
My show.
A Black Hat hacker had hacked Hacking Team's servers, stealing hundreds of gigabytes of data. After leaking it online, Phineas Fisher all but disappeared. But with an assist from my colleague at Vice's tech and science site, Motherboard, we finally negotiated interview terms. Since we wouldn't be able to show his face, the hacker had a strange request. He would only do the interview if he was represented by a puppet.
So he hacked a bank called Cayman Bank and Trust Company. It's actually not located in the Cayman Islands. It's located in Isle of Man, which is like the other. It's Cayman Islands North is what I like to call it.
But when you call that a bank that, you just know it's up to some weird Panama Papers sketch.
Yeah, so he hacked it. He stole money from it, which I need to like learn more about how specifically he stole money from it. But he also leaked like terabytes of documents through Emma Best, this journalist / activist / FOIA terrorist, I mean that in a good way, released it through their organization called Distributed Denial of Secrets, I believe, or something to this effect. Let me get the name correct. I got it right in the first try. Distributed Denial of Secrets, released it there. And with it, Phineas Fisher released a manifesto in which we don't know who Phineas Fisher is, claimed that they would pay $100,000 to anyone else who hacks capitalist institutions. So like banks, oil companies, bad governments, etc., and releases the documents.
I mean, the whole thing is just very like, it's very badass.
It's Mr. Robot.
It's very like, Mr.
It's
Robot.
It's very cool.
It is. It is.
So yeah.
Highly illegal.
Oh yeah, so it's definitely a bug bounty for like super illegal hacks.
Yeah,
and
the FBI will definitely be coming for your ass if you do this. But this is interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So the bank confirmed to us that they were indeed hacked. So we know that, I mean, we sort of knew that they were hacked already because he dropped like all these documents. But
and Lorenzo has been in touch with Phineas Fisher.
For years.
But Phineas, basically a Phineas Fisher whisperer.
Yeah, Phineas has been sort of like hiding, not in hiding, but he's been quiet for a few years. So the fact that Phineas is now back and releasing like manifestos and like how-to guides and all this stuff, it's like very much a fuck you to the haters out there. There's like a lot of haters who are like, oh, Phineas Fisher like must have been arrested. Like, you know, they aren't really in the game anymore and sort of came back with just like a pretty sick hack.
I just wouldn't underestimate them. And I say he or she or them
because we have no idea
if it's one person or several. But, you know, I wouldn't underestimate them. The track record shows that they're pretty good at what they do.
They're extremely good at what they do. So the hacking team hack, which we talked about a lot of times and we can move on quickly after this, but hacking team is an Italian spyware company that has sold to a whole bunch of authoritarian governments. And Phineas Fisher basically like ended their whole career when hacked hacking team and dropped like all of their secrets a few years ago. And the Italian,
all of them, like own them.
Completely own them.
I'm going to use a hockey reference. It's like if you're Scott Stevens of the New Jersey Devils and some idiot is coming across the blue line with his head down and you hip check him and you end his career.
They die. Yeah. They basically die.
You end their career. And that's Phineas Fisher ended the career of hacking team.
Right. So the Italian government did like a huge years-long investigation in which they tried to find out who Phineas Fisher was. And earlier this year, Lorenzo reported that they basically went to court and they were like, we're closing this case. We have no idea. Like, we have no clue who they are. So we're giving up.
It's so badass.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. Keep your eyes peeled because I think there's like more to come here.
I think there's definitely more to come here. It's going to be an interesting story to watch. Now, another story that just made me deeply, deeply uncomfortable, and the photo that accompanies this particular story really makes my skin crawl. It's another Sam Cole story.
Yeah.
Killing it. Killing the game.
Sam and Emmanuel.
Yeah. Killing the game. There are people making 3D avatars of their exes and celebrities and fucking them.
Yeah. This is one of the... I mean, I say this a lot, but this is like one of those things where it's like humanity was a mistake.
Yeah.
Internet was a mistake. Ugh. Like, it's just really bad. So...
just grosses me out.
Yeah, so Sam Cole, who is the reporter for us who uncovered deepfakes a few years ago and other horrifying things in the time since then, has learned of a community on Reddit, where else, and a couple other forums that is using various like computer graphics software and VR software to recreate 3D models of real people in VR and then hooking them up to fleshlights or just like masturbating in these like VR scenarios. And it's one of those things that sort of like deepfakes, where it's a democratization of tech that was developed elsewhere. This phenomenon is only possible because a lot of like the 3D computer graphics programs that are used by video game companies and Hollywood have become free or cheap, or a lot of these, it's like five or six different tools pushed together. So you have sort of like the general 3D graphic avatar producing things called DAZ. That software is like very popular in computer graphics world. And then you have things that like scan faces and put them onto generic avatars. And then you have like another piece of software that allows you to like customize like breast size and physics and like all this stuff. It's like very skin crawly. And then you have like these other artists and these other people who are making, like, they call them mods, I think. I may have got the terminology wrong, but it's basically like mods. And so you can take like the generic model and like customize their belly button and their pubic hair and their labia. And like
all,
it's just not, it's not great. And then
really not chill at all.
And then finally, you can put them into different scenarios where it's like, oh yeah, like doggy style. Oh yeah, like all these different things. And there's people selling really fucked up things. Like there are a lot of like BDSM ones and stuff One is called The Morgue, in which it's like a brain extraction scenario. It's just like,
okay,
it's, I can stop.
This is fucked.
I can stop.
What is wrong with this shit? Like, it's just,
yeah. And of course, like,
makes
none
me
of these...
feel like a, like, I feel like a, like some sort of 90s conservative listening to like Marilyn Manson. That's what this makes me feel like.
Yeah. So there's like nothing wrong with fucking a model in VR if it's like an imaginary person or a like generic thing from someone's imagination. But the fact that these people are trying to recreate their exes or people that they know or celebrities without their consent is obviously like,
but I think
terrible.
that's what's scary about it, because you think about it, you're like, well, it's still not real. So what, like, what is this? Like, what?
It's literally a Black Mirror episode. Like, it's, yeah. USS Callister is like one of the newer Black Mirror episodes. And like this creep takes DNA from people at his work and puts them into his video game and then like tortures them in the video game. And it's like, that's basically what this is. It's not good.
Well, good for Sam for like at least... and Emmanuel for exposing this weirdness. Yes. It's, I think we can tell by the way we are talking about it now.
I feel bummed.
How bummed out we are.
Yeah. Let's talk about who farted.
Yeah. Because it's, let's end on that.
Sam, yeah.
Another good one from Sam.
After Sam did this non-consensual VR porn story for like weeks and weeks and did like
what a nightmare.
Yeah,
that's a true nightmare.
Really bad. It's like, we need a palate cleanser. We need to report
something. Don't say palate cleanser for this one.
A little more lighthearted. Still gross though. So on MSNBC's Hardball, hosted by Chris Matthews earlier this week, there was a segment in which Congressman Eric Swalwell was talking about the impeachment hearings. And like while he was talking, he or someone lets off a quite loud fart, which I believe we can probably insert here if you haven't heard it.
Taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help them cheat an election.
And he like pauses, and then there was all this reporting around it. And BuzzFeed like talked to Swalwell and he's like, I didn't do it. And then the next day, MSNBC was like, no one farted. It was actually just a mug being dragged across like a glass table. And so Sam...
I don't know about that.
Sam, who's like uniquely qualified to do this research, did like a deep investigation in which she talked to like sound effects experts, like people who make sound effects for video games, like, you know, the... like spine cracking on Mortal Kombat and stuff like that by like, you know, banging on trash cans or what have you, asked them to analyze it. And they're like, yeah, like we think that this could be a mug being dragged against a hard surface. Like they put it into Audition or into Pro Tools and like analyze the wavelengths and stuff like this. And they're like, this seems plausible. But then Sam talked to this porn performer named Bunny Ratchet, who was the focus of a piece that Sam did earlier this year. She is a fart fetish porn model.
Okay.
So she like farts in people's faces and they get off to it and things of this nature.
Good for her.
Yeah. And she sent it to her and she was like, this definitely is a fart. like, I know farts and I know all about this.
Yeah.
And I like... she's like, I know exactly the type of microphone that was used to record it. Like, this was a lav mic, and lav mic farts sound like this because I did a special request for, like, some of my
patrons.
Yes, patrons, where I held a lav, like, all over my body in different parts and, like, farted and then compared the sounds. And she's like, it was a fart. So... the article is called Who Farted? An Investigation, and it's a good one. Still somewhat inconclusive,
yeah,
but we went deep on it.
It's like Clue.
Yeah.
With farts.
Yeah, it's like very much like, I really like investigations where you go just like way too deep on something pretty frivolous.
Yeah, I agree.
And
Also just kind of reminds you that the world is ridiculous.
And it's ridiculous, and you also need to keep an open mind. And I think the world is full of wonder, and having a curious brain is a good thing to have. And Sam definitely has that.
Well, thank you, Dad, for that parting thought. And I think that's it for the first edition of the newly revamped Cyber Cipher.
Yeah, I hope you learned something.
I did.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.